Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Witch Unexpected by Debbie Cassidy, narrated by Leanne Woodward. Chapter 1. Trying to date while a malevolent spirit played third wheel was a bitch. Why the heck did I keep trying? Oh yeah, because I was damned if I'd allow a ghostly pest problem to ruin my love life. I deserve to date like any other normal... Okay, so I was far from normal. But still, I deserved to bloody date. And Keith from work was up for the challenge. A Magicard with biceps despair and kind brown eyes that always smiled at me. He'd been asking me out for weeks now. I'd turned him down. Repeatedly. Because... Well, being cursed meant I was never alone for long. But Keith was adamant that he could handle the parasite connected to me. We'd met while I was working a freelance case for the Magicard, or as I like to call them, the Outlier Police. The Magicard policed the supernatural community and, from time to time, hired me to help on the cases that required a heavier hand than they were permitted to apply. Or the ones where a little sneakiness was required. I was good for both, and they knew it. Keith was a teddy bear of a warlock, a cutie with a smile always at the ready. Except for now. Nope, right now he looked like someone had shoved a rod up his backside and was slowly rotating it, rotisserie style. Jasper's presence had that effect on people. Jasper. My curse, and the bane of my existence, picked up his whiskey glass and took a sip before arching a brow my way. His lithe form was folded into a seat he'd dragged over from a nearby table to add to my table for two. He'd dressed in a black, long-sleeved polo jumper that molded to his body, showcasing the lean muscle beneath. His dark hair was glossy, freshly washed, and brushed back off his forehead, so his high cheekbones and chiseled features were showcased to their best advantage. There was a cruel beauty to Jasper, compelling and hypnotic if you looked too long. I tore my gaze away from his piercing green eyes. Yeah, I'd learned not to look too long. Instead, I focused on Keith and fixed a smile on my face, hoping he'd stop staring at Jasper and smile back at me. He obliged, but I instantly wished he hadn't, because there was a wild look in his eyes, a matador dressed in red in a bullring kind of look. As usual, Jasper was the fucking bull. We hadn't even ordered yet, but like fuck was I making him stay if he didn't want to be here. I glanced down at the empty plate in front of me, the one that would be taken away when my order arrived. Never understood the point of those plates. I pushed it aside and braced my forearms on the table. Listen, Keith, you can go if you want. I told you this wouldn't be easy. He sat up straighter, his jaw tightening, as if I'd thrown him a challenge. What was it with most guys?
I'm fine. His gaze flicked to Jasper again. I just didn't expect the spirit to look so handsome.
Jasper said smoothly. Keith flinched.
It spoke to me.
I groaned and closed my eyes.
What?
Keith's gaze flicked between Jasper and me.
It did.
I never said he was mute. Explaining Jasper's existence and his connection to me was always awkward. I'd taken him on a year ago, agreed to allow him to bind to me to save the life of some friends. It seemed like a good idea at the time. Little had I known what the price would be and how often he'd exact it. Not anymore, though. Now I had some control. Not enough to make him go away, but enough to keep him at bay. Having him follow me on dates or show up while I showered was a small cost to avoid the price he wanted me to pay. Keith stared at me, waiting for me to explain Jasper to him. Honestly, I didn't have the energy. But Jasper obviously did.
He set his glass down. I speak, I eat, I drink, and I fuck. His gaze slid my way. She likes it when I bend her over and take her roughly from behind. I didn't flinch at his words. Jasper was a wanker. He said wankerish things to try and get a rise out of me. I was becoming totally desensitized to him. Didn't mean I wasn't tempted to punch him in the mouth, and if I'd thought it would hurt him, I might have. Keith looked at me in horror, as if to ask, "Is this true?" I met his gaze levelly, and he made a choking sound of indignation. Whether on my behalf or just in general, I wasn't too sure. "Yes," Jasper said with a nod. "That's exactly the sound she makes when she has my cock down her throat." I picked up the useless plate and smashed it into Jasper's face. It shattered before making contact, pieces falling to the ground with soft chinks. Jasper smirked, and I curbed the urge to throttle him. Maybe I wasn't totally desensitized. Around us, the room had descended into silence as the general hum of conversation ceased. But I didn't give a fuck what anyone thought. I glared at Jasper as he calmly sipped his drink. Say what the fuck you want, Jasper. It's just words now. Tag along on my dates. Spy on me taking a fucking shit if you want. I don't give a flying fuck because you have no power over me. The hollow feeling in my chest contradicted my words. But that was my problem to deal with. I'd keep the upper hand as long as he didn't know how much his presence affected me. Jasper shrugged.
Really? No power over you? I'd say making you come so hard you stop breathing is a pretty awesome power.
My eyes burned with anger and shame. Fuck you, Jasper. His gaze dropped to my neck, to the amulet nestled at the base of my throat.
You can, Cora. All you need to do is take that thing off.
His tone was soft, almost wistful, and for some reason, my rage evaporated, leaving me drained. I'm not doing this with you.
Who else will you do it with?
Jasper asked. He tipped his head toward Keith.
The Magicard who slipped away?
Keith's seat was empty. Fuck. I hate you. I took long strides down the street, as if that would get me away from Jasper. I fucking hate you so much.
No, you don't, he said. You hate yourself for wanting me.
If I wanted you, I wouldn't have had this commissioned. I tugged at the chain around my neck to show off the amulet. It winked blood red in the streetlights. Okay, so I hadn't had it commissioned. It had been a gift. But Jasper didn't need to know that. I tucked it back under my shirt and picked up the pace down the street, boots clipping neatly against the pavement. Awesome fuck-me boots. 4-inch heels, calf high, and the softest leather. I'd even mown my lawn and waxed my legs. I hadn't had sex in months. Keith was meant to be the icebreaker, the heat bringer, the meat plunger. Erg. I'd even changed my sheets and put out candles. Hope was a sneaky bitch. Hope could go suck an egg. I was done hoping. Jasper was a plague, a limpet, a fucking ingrowing hair that kept ingrowing. I was supposed to be fucking tonight, and now I wasn't, because like a wet fart, Jasper had scared off my ride. At least this time, I'd chosen an outlier, not a human. The last guy Jasper had chased away was in therapy. Even though humans had been able to see ghosts for decades, the presence of a malevolent spirit like Jasper was enough to send even the most well-adjusted human screaming for the hills. I'd become so acclimatized to Jasper's presence that I forgot how insidious and evil it could be to others. After all the shit I'd been through, it was easy to forget how much the world had changed. a few decades ago, an experimental drug spill had resulted in human beings being able to see the dead. It had also brought to light the existence of Reapers, demons from a place called the Underrealm. The drug had affected Reapers, too, killing many of them. Due to the drop in their numbers, the volume of spirits trapped on the earthly plane had grown exponentially. And so a new system had been born, one where humans worked with the Underrealm to monitor and dispatch the spirits of the dead to the other side. I'd worked in such a place for a while. In fact, my best friend, Fee, was a Reaper. Not just any Reaper, but one of the elites, a Dominus Reaper. I'd helped her out too for a while. But that wasn't my life anymore. Working for the Magicguard in Necro City, being trailed by Jasper, and not having sex was now my life. 3 months without bedroom action, and my body was ready to screw anything that moved. Anything and anyone. Except Jasper. He was never touching me again. I turned the corner onto my street, pushed open the gate to my tiny terraced house, and clipped my way up the steps. Being a realist, I knew it was too much to hope that Jasper would simply piss off. But there it was again. Hope. I stepped into the hallway, but didn't bother to turn on the lights. The drapes were open, and moonlight flooded the house. What I needed most right now was to slide into bed with one of my epic vibrators. I needed to come. I needed Jasper to fuck off. I gripped the balustrade just as he pressed his chest to my back. He was a spirit, a malevolent entity, and yet his body was warm and solid where it made contact with mine. He was powerful and dangerous, but he wouldn't allow anyone or anything to harm me. Yeah, sounded romantic, but the truth was far from it. I was a thing to him, a possession. A way to remain anchored to this world, and everything he did for me, or to me, was for his own gain. But when he was close like this, my body forgot all the reasons why he was bad for me, because my body remembered all the ways he could make me feel so good, all the tiny details I desperately wanted to forget. "You're wound so tight," he purred, breath hot on my neck. "I could give you the release you want. Just take off the amulet, Cora." My pulse beat so hard in my throat, I was sure the world could hear it, and my core tightened and throbbed, eager for his touch. Yes, my traitorous body remembered. It remembered his expert hands, his hot mouth, his clever tongue, and his thick cock.
"Let me fill you," he said.
My core clenched, and a wave of desire and need washed over me, leaving me wet and angry. I hated that I craved him, hated myself for being weak. No, stop thinking like that. I wasn't weak. I was in control. I pulled away and plastered a smirk on my face before facing him. "I'm not the one who needs you, Jasper. You need me. You need to feed off sex." And he could only get that from me, the sap who'd agreed to bind to him. "You need the energy it gives you to manifest continually. Siphoning heat and energy from a room full of humans isn't enough for you, is it?" Already he was beginning to fade away, and soon he'd be gone. His eyes narrowed.
"We had a deal, Cora."
"Yeah." I turned away and climbed the steps to the first floor.
"We did."
The deal had been simple. Sex with Jasper once a month, and he'd save my friends' lives. I hadn't really had much choice at the time. If I'd said no, Fee might have taken the deal in my place, and she'd been through too much already. I couldn't let her take on Jasper, too. But once a month had become weekly. then biweekly, as he'd insinuated himself into my life, offering his aid in exchange for access to my body. He was a deadly addiction, an insidious craving. But now I had an off switch. I shut my bedroom door, knowing instinctively that he wouldn't follow me now. When he vanished like this, he was gone. I had no idea where, and I didn't give a shit. All that mattered was that, for a few blissful hours, I'd be free of him. I stripped off and pulled on my PJs. The urge to get off was gone. Instead, a bone-aching exhaustion filtered through my veins. I crawled into bed and lay staring at the ceiling. There was a crack in the plaster just above my bed that ran all the way to the other side of the room. I should probably get it checked out, but I probably wouldn't. My hand went to the amulet at my throat. It was cool against my fingertips. A gift from Elijah Black, my unofficial warlock mentor. It had arrived in the post with a note that simply read, "For your pest problem." I didn't ask for it. I didn't commission it like I preferred to let Jasper think. But Elijah knew just what I needed. A Jasper repellent. The amulet, forged by the powerful Grimswood Coven up north, was a protection ward. It kept Jasper from being sexually intimate with me. It disrupted the bond between us, so he couldn't feed off my energy or use it to manifest. I'd been worried about that. Worried that if he didn't get what he needed from me, he might hurt other people. But Elijah assured me that while bound to me, Jasper could only siphon a minuscule amount of energy from others, only enough to manifest for short periods. His power would be muted too. But the flip side was, so would mine. I was a novelty. Some would say an abomination. Heck, even I didn't fully understand what I was. I wasn't born. I was created by Fee. They called my kind tulpas, beings created with the force of another person's will. Except regular tulpas remained trapped in their creator's subconscious mind. I was different because Fee was different. Powerful. And through her, I'd taken on a life of my own. I had power of my own, the ability to shift from place to place, the ability to harness what witches called miasma without the need to be linked to a coven like other witches. I was an anomaly no one understood, and the amulet was fucking with my abilities. I would have shifted from the restaurant to my house, but I couldn't make long journeys using my teleportation power without being drained. Even short trips took the wind out of my sails. "Just take it off, Cora." Jasper's voice was a whisper in the darkness. "Seriously?" "Piss off, Jasper." "Take it off." "Never." I pulled the covers over my head and closed my eyes, ignoring the desperate pound of my heart and the zing in my blood.
"Never say never, Cora," he whispered. "Tomorrow is another day."
I felt him leave and relaxed into the mattress. I needed sleep. A warm, fuzzy feeling trickled through my veins, the delicious lethargy that came just before sleep tugged me under. My phone buzzed loudly on the bedside table, jarring me awake. I could ignore it, slip back under and into dreams, but the guttering needed cleaning, and I was running low on funds. Fee had insisted on buying me this house, but I insisted on paying for its upkeep. Dreams would have to wait. I groaned and made a grab for the phone. There was only one person who ever called me at this unsocial hour, because this was when the monsters came out to play. This was prime time. I answered on the eighth buzz. "Hello, Ursula. What you got for me?" Chapter 2. Ursula, my magic guard boss, was waiting for me outside Lumiere's, the only coffee shop in Necro City that catered solely to outliers. Supernatural beings, like shifters, fae, witches, warlocks, and everyone in between, came here for coffee and cake. And Lena, the fae owner, catered to them all. There was only one rule, no fuckery. And she made doubly sure of it by placing wards all over the building. Outlier abilities were muted inside the building, and anyone attempting to engage in a rumble got knocked on their ass. Stood to reason, it was a popular hangout for those looking for a little downtime, or for rival factions wanting to powwow. There was only one breed of creature you wouldn't find here, and that was humans. Lumiere's had a look-away spell on it that kept them at bay. Humans, in general, were oblivious to the outlier world. Well, aside from being aware of ghosts and the existence of Reapers, the rest was kept under wraps by the likes of the Magicard, who made sure the veil between the outlier world and the human world was kept intact. And for the last few months, I'd helped them do just that. It was the middle of November, and we were headed into winter. There was a bite in the air, and Ursula was dressed to ward off the chill in boots, a calf-length jacket, and a woolly hat that sat snug on her head. She raised a hand in greeting as I crossed the road to reach her. "Thanks for coming," she said. "You pay me, and I'm there." She grinned. "Of course. It's not like you love this gig." I grinned back. "Oh, I love it, all right. But if you must know, I've been on a date." She winced. "Yeah, I know. Keith came back to HQ spooked as fuck." Now I looked like a dick. "He said he could handle it. I guess he's all biceps, warm smiles, and no spine." Okay, so maybe that was a little cruel. But fuck it. I'd warned him about Jasper. Heck, I tried to warn him off, but he'd insisted on a date anyway. Ursula looked at me with pity. "Hell no." "Do you want me to claw your eyes out?" She shook her head. "There is a guy out there for you, Cora. One who'll be able to take on Jasper." I nodded and smiled thinly because, as much as I wanted to believe it, experience was piling on evidence to suggest otherwise. Keith wasn't the first guy claiming to be up to the Jasper challenge, then running for the hills. A face came to mind, chiseled, handsome, and kind. His name was Dean, a loup-garou, a shifter and a beta. He'd wanted me. Until he hadn't. Fuck it. Morose thoughts were for late nights with a bottle of whiskey and a pizza. "What we working with tonight, Urs?" She rolled her eyes. "How many times have I asked you not to call me Urs? It sounds like arse, I know." I shot her a wicked smile. "I hate you." "No, you don't." "Fine, I don't." She glanced over my shoulder, and I registered the purr of an engine. "Our ride's here." An unremarkable Ford idled across the road. Magicard issue driven by a low-level employee. "Are you going to tell me what the gig is?" "It'll be easier if I show you." "Color me intrigued." The red brick primary school sat dark and deserted across the asphalt playground that was surrounded by iron bars. Schools always reminded me of prisons, with the bars and the timed outdoor activities and pee breaks. But the fact we were here meant there was something causing danger to these children. "What's messing with the kids, Urs?" This time, she didn't pull me up on the use of her nickname. "Three children went missing from the kindergarten 2 days ago. A search party was set up, and the whole area was combed for hours. Then a janitor went in to clean the classroom and found them sitting in the dark. The parents are ecstatic to have them back, of course, but their teacher is an independent witch and noticed some strange things about them over the last 2 days." "Go on." "They refused to eat anything at lunch, but she caught one of them eating a beetle at recess and another munching on flowers." "Don't human kids do shit like that?" Ursula nodded. "Of course, but our contact said that when she tried to stop them, they hissed at her and their eyes bled to black. Okay, now that isn't normal. No. So what are we dealing with? What did you need to show me? Ursula unlocked the passenger side door and stepped out. This way. I trailed her toward the gate, then fell into step beside her as we followed the barrier around the building toward the back where a field was visible. The teacher in question had a suspicion as to what we might be dealing with, Ursula said. The children went missing after lunchtime play, which happens on this field. So she went to investigate. The field was also gated off from the road, just like the asphalt playground up front. But there was a woman waiting for us on the other side of this gate. She wrung her hands nervously, huge eyes staring at us from behind thick lenses. Oh, thank goodness you're here. She hopped from foot to foot. It's a waxing moon, she said. Not good to be out alone when the moon is so close to full. It was a common misconception that shifters were dangerous. I mean, they could rip you to shreds if they wanted, but they didn't hunt people. They also didn't need it to be close to a full moon to shift. They could shift any time. They won't hurt you. Huh? The Lou, they don't hunt people. She blinked at me. Oh, my dear, I wasn't referring to the Lou. Okay. Then what? She pulled open the gate and ushered us through. The other folk, she said in a hushed tone. The other folk that frolic in the woods. She jerked her head toward the tree line in the distance. I'm sorry, what? She means fey folk, Ursula said. Fey? The fey were few and far between, a dying race, and one that didn't venture into the human world very often. You think fey have something to do with the children? Have you heard of changelings? She asked. Isn't that where fey take a human baby and leave one of their own in its place? Yes, that's it. These kids are what? 3 or 4 years old? Hardly babies. I know, the teacher said, but I also know what I saw. The children that returned aren't human. I can show you. Follow me. We trudged across the moonlit field toward the tree line, and despite my bravado, a prickle skittered across my skin, my sixth sense warning me something was afoot. The shadows crawled toward us the closer we got to the woods. The teacher stopped and pointed. Look, do you see it? She asked. I scanned the gloom between the trees, seeing nothing but gloom. Ursula? And then I spotted it, a slender sliver of light cutting a vertical path through the air. You see it, don't you? The witch asked. Yeah, I saw it. What is that? A rift, Ursula said. We believe it leads to the Fey realm and the missing human children. It's a wild and dangerous place, the witch said. A dangerous place, not for the likes of us. She shook her head quickly. Witches are defenseless over there. She looked warily at the rift and shuddered. Those poor children, they must be so scared. A fresh prickle ran over my skin, and an icy hand gripped the back of my neck. I looked to Ursula. You want us to go through there, don't you? Ursula winced. Actually, I need you to go through. Alone. Now, I was no coward, but I also wasn't a fool. You want me to go into a wild, dangerous place where I'll be defenseless? Alone? Ursula gripped my hands and looked at me earnestly. Do you honestly think I'd ask you to do this if I thought you'd be defenseless? Okay, either I'm hearing things or you're chatting shit. Witches can't use their magic in the Fey realm, Ursula said. Regular, normal witches. She gave me a pointed look. You're no normal witch, Cora. I've seen you bypass wards, and your access to miasma needs no coven bond. The teacher's gaze flicked up to mine in shock. Yep. My existence wasn't common knowledge. Neither were my abilities. Only a select few knew. And it looked like this...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?